This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Conflict was not a part of God's original design. While it's a result of sin, conflict itself is not sin. However, it can open the door for us to fall into sin if we don't react properly. Today, Pastor Ben Lamphier will conclude a sermon titled, Understanding Conflict. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
A lot of tension with other people because this is what I want. You know, sometimes, to be honest, we get in a groove and we just start making conflict. That's just how we've functioned. And maybe that's you. You've kind of lived a lot of your life with just this conflict mindset, and it just kind of bubbles out. Or maybe you know someone that's like that. It just bubbles out. Well, the reality is there needs to be an addressing of the heart to realize my words actually impact and they matter. Let me quickly go on because time is fleeting. Number four. How does conflict progress? Now, conflict progresses. Like, it doesn't just stay in one little spot. It actually grows and it progresses. Let me give you an illustration to help you think through how it progresses. As I was a kid, I loved visiting my grandparents' farm in western New Hampshire. They owned about 700 acres in western New Hampshire, and it was like a summer paradise. And rolling hills, creeks, barns, tractors, cows. I mean, it was everything a kid could dream of. And on that farm, there were large fields that the cattle would graze in. And I remember learning something about those fields, that if they were not maintained, and if they were not cut, and if they were not properly bush hogged semi-regularly, there would be thorns that would start to grow. And they wouldn't start all just with this massive tangle, but there would be inevitably, you know, a thorn seed that would fly on a bird and it would drop over the soil, and there would be this perfect conducive atmosphere for the right temperature and the right water and the right sun for that thorn to grow. And you have one little inconspicuous thorn bush. And you know what? No one does anything about one inconspicuous thorn bush. Especially on a farm of 700 acres, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of work happening. One thorn bush is not going to make the priority list. But what happens? That thorn bush, they have a habit and they spread really fast. And before long, that single thorn bush has turned into a whole thicket of thorns. And so now at this point, the cows can't walk through to feed, and really you can't even walk through without getting cut up. And really at this point, you can't go and just pull a thorn. You actually need massive equipment to just get rid of all these thorns, because they have turned in the whole field actually useless. It is no longer profitable, and so either you have to clear cut the whole thing or you just abandon the field. You know, and I've kind of found that conflict works in the same way. Let's start with one. How does conflict progress? Well, it starts out with a normal disagreement. Two parties express differing opinions, ideas, preferences, and it's respectful. You have a calm tone, you're actively listening, you have mutual respect for one another. There's this willingness to understand. Maybe it's about a restaurant. You have a disagreement about where you want to eat, and eventually says, you know what, it's okay, we can go there. I'll find something there that I know I'll enjoy. And the situation's diffused. The thorn hasn't even come up. Nothing has even happened. Expressing disagreements or differences is normal and a good thing. But what happens next? What about if that disagreement gets a little bit more riled up? Well, you have this point of tension. And that is this disagreement. There's tension. The seed of conflict is planted. This is a stage where you could bubble up into this relational conflict, and or it could resolve. It could be resolved at this point. Someone could back away and say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm getting too animated. This isn't necessary for me to be like this. Maybe voice tones sharpen, minor defensiveness, misunderstandings begin, tensions grow. And maybe feelings start to become dismissed during the conversation. Maybe there starts to be misinterpreting someone's intentions. There's a quickness to prove your point at this moment. And really, this is a watershed moment. Which way will it go? Will it continue to explode, or will it dissolve? And resolve, I should say. Well, number three is called personalization. This is where the relational strain begins. The thorns are now visible. The disagreement moves personal. You know, disagreements often become personal. The blame shifting, sarcasm, passive aggressive remarks, defensiveness dominates. The focus shifts from the issue to the person. And so you often may hear things like, you never listen to me. You always care more about your work than our family. I wish I never married you. Notice the issues move to the back seat and the person becomes the issue. So the issue is actually no longer a part of the equation. It becomes the person, and we begin to attack. And number four, open fighting takes place. You know, once you proceed to this point, you're bound to have other areas of conflict. And it really is just like that thorn bush that multiplied, and now it's become a whole briar. And it's this whole area that's now difficult to walk through. You know, conflict becomes openly hostile with the goals of winning, hurting, or defending territory. Maybe it's name calling, threatening to leave the relationship. Words now cut deep. Trust really begins to die at this point. Number five, the breakdown happens. Emotions completely take over. Rational discussion becomes impossible. And really, at this point, the field, our metaphorical field, is lost. The way forward is actually going to require massive work from both individuals, but there still is hope. But they'll need people, friends, supporters, to walk through this road of navigating the difficulties when you're at this point. Maybe it's examples of screaming matches, storming out, slamming doors, breaking things. And then number six, alienation. One or both parties cut off the relationship emotionally or physically, stonewalling, long-term resentment, end of meaningful relationship without repentance or healing. And the examples are divorce, ending a friendship or partnership with bitterness. I've often heard of businesses that have totally broken, totally collapsed. And there is immense alienation that has set in. I know I've referenced marriages a lot, but this happens in all relationships, in all conflicts. The field of relationships can be filled with potential conflict. But I want to ask you a question. What would have happened if one of those individuals stopped fighting to pick the thorn bush that was still small and manageable? What about if they actually at that moment said, hey, I'm not going to keep pushing for my desire here. I actually am going to step back. I want this to be resolved, and I want to actually pick the thorn bush so this can be diffused. Well, look at what could have been avoided. The sad reality is that as pastors, we probably can all agree that people don't come to our counseling office or a pastoral for help until you get to four, five, maybe step number six. But what imagine if maybe a friend, a godly mentor, came at this point and said, hey, we got to pick this bush. And it seems so small right now, but let's pick it. Doesn't Hebrews talk about that? He says, don't let any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. A root, it's so small. It seems so benign until it grows and grows and grows and becomes something that actually does immense damage. All right, question number five. Who are you in conflict with? Who are you in conflict with? Now, I want to quickly go through this section, not because it's unimportant, but because I'm looking at the time, and I want to make sure that we enjoy those wonderful ice cream sandwiches that are waiting for us. Often we look at the person that we're in conflict with, and we think about them in terms of a role. I'm in conflict with my husband. I'm in conflict with my wife. I'm in conflict with my coworker. I'm in conflict with my boss. I'm in conflict with my supervisor. Whatever it may, you have all these different roles, and we define our conflict in terms of role. And sometimes we actually define the conflict in terms of the issue. We define the conflict in terms of the issue. For example, someone could be reductionistic in terms of how they view someone. So a few examples of reductionism in terms of this area would be that you say, he is just so lazy. Essentially, what you've done, you've encapsulated the whole person and you've boiled them down to one characteristic. Now, is that a healthy and good thing to say to people when you take the whole reality of them and you boil it down to one characteristic? No, it's actually pretty hurtful. Or there's another term called labeling, when their identity becomes their label. And so it may be he's the addict of the family. She's the divorcee. And you create the circumstance and you label them by that reality. Or there's another one that probably all of us do. It's called fundamental attribution error. And what this means is you reduce someone else's behavior to their character, ignoring the circumstances, while at the same time you attribute your own negative behaviors to external circumstances, not your character. So for example, you're driving down the road, you get cut off in traffic. What do you say? What a jerk. You're so inconsiderate. That's what you say to the person. You assume they cut you off because it's their character. But what happens if you cut someone off? Oh, I was stressed and I just was running late and oh man, it was a really busy morning. Even if they honk, brum, 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 you cut them off. So what do you attribute that error to? Well, your circumstances. And so often, it's just natural part of human reality where we view someone's behavior as that was their character, and then for our own realities, we view our realities as just circumstantial. Oh, I just did that because of this. Well, why is that so important? Because if you're like me, we can be guilty of doing some sort of reductionism when we're in conflict. And really, the problem with it is it actually closes the door to grace and mercy and understanding the difficulty or the problem of the person. Maybe it actually kind of ends up being a hopeless reality of say, you know, they're always going to be like this, and I'm just going to put them in this box, and this is who they are. You know, when you start to label people in that way, actually, it doesn't bring peace, it often inflames the conversation more. Now, you may say, Ben, what's all that humble? Yeah, I don't know anything of what you're talking about. Well, let's look at scripture for one moment. I want to ask you this question. Does the Lord, when there's conflict in scripture, do you see the Lord? How does the Lord, or how do the authors deal with the conflict? How do they address people in conflict? Let me give you three examples. Think with me, James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. They're talking about taming the tongue. And then he says, James says this, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not so to be. And so what is he saying? You have a really problem when you bless people and then curse people, and you're cursing people who are made in the image of God. These are image bearers of God, and you are cursing them. That is a huge, huge problem. And so, imagine if we viewed people in our life that we are in relational conflict with, not by the reduction of their character, but as being an image bearer. This person is an image bearer of God. And I don't know if they're Christian, but I'm going to pray that they come to know the Lord, but they are bearing God's image in some way, and there is some grace realities because of that. Number two, we are in conflict not only with image bearers, but number two is our saints. Remember when Paul was talking in Philippians to the church, and he calls out Yodia and Syntyche. And he says, I entreat you to agree in the Lord. And I really appreciate what the New Living Translation, how it translated. It says this, now I appeal to you, Yodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. You belong to the Lord. So imagine that person that you're in conflict with, and you have two believers, two professing Christians in the room, and you're in conflict, maybe a husband-wife relationship, maybe a roommate relationship, maybe a partnership relationship, whatever it may be. You're in conflict about something. Things are boiling over. And imagine this reality. This is my brother or sister in Christ. I can't speak to them like this. They're a saint. You may say, Ben, that just sounds too hard. Well, look how Paul talks to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's about to talk about all their divisions, all their sin, all the problems in their life. He's about to talk to them about all, I mean, 1 Corinthians is not the most just delicate letter that he sends to the church of Corinth. But how does he address them in chapter 1? He says something absolutely startling. If I can find 1 Corinthians. There it is. He says, verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both Lord and ours. Verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you. Imagine the people that we're in conflict with, and we actually start to pray verses 4 to 9. I thank God for you because of God's grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless. I don't know if I would have used that word if I was Paul. Guiltless? But he's talking about a different reality. He's talking about the reality that we as saints have been made whole. And yes, he's going to deal with the problem that is running rampant in this church. But he is grounding their reality that they are saints. You know, when I am in conflict with people, I don't think about them as my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. I think about they're in the way of what I want. And I'm going to do whatever I want to get what I want. I'm going to do whatever I want to win. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. Well, let me give you One last question. This is the short. So why should we resolve our conflicts?
You know, there's a lot of bad reasons for this. There's a lot of bad reasons, and it's maybe I want to just avoid the tension. I don't like this tension, so I'm going to resolve it. Bad reason. I want to just gain their approval. I just want them to really like me. Bad reason. Happy wife, happy life. Bad reason. What is the gospel-motivated, God-focused reason to make peace? It's because God resolved the conflict that he had with you. There was a conflict that you and I actually had with our maker, and he actually set for us his son so that this conflict could actually be resolved. This conflict could actually be ended. And you know what we do? This massive conflict has been resolved. The God of the universe has said, I've got a way. I'm going to make it. I'm going to take care of it. It's not going to be a problem. I have dealt with it. My son bore the penalty for this. And then you know what? We come over here with our little conflicts and our little divisions, and we get all tight about this. They didn't treat me right. They didn't say that right. They hurt me in this way, and I can't believe that happened. And oh, she didn't want to go to the mountains. How dare her? And we fight because we forgot how much we have been forgiven. Colossians 1:19-22 says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. So, how do we conclude this? Throughout the New Testament, we are admonished to live at peace with people. Romans 12:18. Is it possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes peace for mutual upbuilding. So here we are. We're done. But let me just ask this one little question. Are there people in your life with whom you are in conflict with? Where are you in the process of this conflict? What is it that you want so badly that you're willing to fight and go to war for it? You know, I know maybe tonight I just opened a can of worms. I opened the topic. Maybe you're like, I now have more questions than you have answered. But please continue to come, and please continue to listen, engage. And maybe there are questions you have. We'd love to answer those the best we can. And maybe they're relevant questions that we can answer as we teach and preach. And so we'd love to know those as Pastor Peter and I continue to formulate this. So next week, Pastor Peter will be picking up, answering the question, how do I respond to conflict? And what do I do when I am wrong?
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Today's speaker, Pastor Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, join us for a morning worship service every Sunday at 9 or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. Billieux. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.